Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Premier Foods Interim Management Statement. My name is John, and I'm your conference coordinator. For the duration of the call, you will be on listen only. However, at the end of the call, you will have the opportunity to ask questions. If at any time you need assistance, please press star zero on your telephone keypad, and you'll be connected to an operator. I'll now hand you over to Mr. Robert Schofield to begin the call.
Thank you. Good morning, and thank you for joining us to talk about our interim management statement. I'm Robert Schofield, Chief Executive Officer, and with me is Jim Smart, Chief Financial Officer. Before we turn over the call for Q&A, I'd like to make a few opening remarks. The biggest influence on our performance in the first quarter was the market itself. After a strong December, our markets in January and February saw sharp declines before returning to more normal levels in March. We see the March data as a more reasonable guide to market trends for the year as a whole. Of course, we weren't immune to that seasonal trading pattern, and our sales broadly reflected the market decline in the quarter. I'm pleased to say that our volumes were more robust, beating the decline in the market, and as a result, we increased our volume share. With improved efficiency, we are in a good position to compete in the increasingly competitive marketplace. Our Drive brands showed both sales and volume growth in the period in line with our strategy. Our Defend brands, despite lower promotional spending, beat the market decline, but core brands had a more difficult quarter. The decline in non-branded sales was again ahead of the market. So while in absolute terms we are reporting declines in quarter one, you will see that relative to the market, our performance was much more robust. The other big headwind we face remains the impact of input cost inflation, and here too I'm pleased that we have made good progress. We've achieved the price increase we sought with all customers, and these cover most of the inflation we have seen. That said, inflation remains an issue, and we will continue to seek price rises to recover increased raw material costs as the year progresses. Turning to our financial position, during the quarter we completed the disposal of our meat-free business and announced the sale of our East Anglian cannery grocery operations, which we expect to complete around June. These disposals reduce our debt and our leverage, and having obtained a credit rating, we can now move ahead with a bond issue dependent on market conditions in the second half of the year. We continue to be cautious about the consumer environment. We made good progress on many fronts in 2010, and we anticipate that continuing in 2011. But due to the slow start up to the year and the pricing lag, the profit delivery will be more weighted to the second half in 2011 than in 2010. We'll take some questions now, both Jim and myself. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question, please press 7 on your telephone keypad. If you change your mind and want to withdraw your question, just press 7 again. You'll be prompted when to ask your question. First question we have is from the line of Mr. Warren Ackerman of Evolution. Please go ahead with your question.
Morning, guys. It's Warren Ackerman here at Evolution.
Hey, Warren.
Morning. Couple of questions. Just on the, going back on the input cost inflation, if I remember rightly, you were previously guiding to kind of 6 to 7% inflation. Obviously, that's now kind of, you know, close to doubled. Just wondering whether you can actually go through some of the key commodities, what's changed. I take your point on pricing, but obviously that's a big change in guidance on input costs.
Well, just be careful there. Certainly we'll take you through what the main movers are. We've got to be careful of the period we're asking for. People were asking me at the beginning what we thought 2011 was going to be. And that, we said, was about 6 or 7%. If you add to it the inflation that we've anticipated and occurred to us in the last part of 2010 and put the two together, then you get into the teens and rollover inflation goes together. So it's not entirely a doubling.
Oh, right, okay.
But having said that, I'll ask Jim to just walk you through some of the big movers.
Obviously, we're pretty much biased towards wheat. That's our biggest commodity. Yeah. That's pretty much doubled in price, but I think everyone pretty much knows that. Everything else that's related to wheat goes up as well. Dairy is up quite considerably. Oils and fats are quite up considerably. And packaging, including corrugated, has gone up quite quickly.
Right.
So all of those, I think, particularly oils and fats and packaging, we flagged up as being things that were still moving. On the other hand, there are some things that are going down. Eggs are down quite considerably year on year, and tomatoes are down a bit. So it's not all one way. I think our general view is that we've seen the big increases. We see some of the speculative money seems to be coming out of some of the commodities, so there are a few that dropped back a little bit. But we're still net got a bit more to recover, but in the context of what we've already done, it's relatively small.
Okay. And Robert, are you able to flesh out your comment about March being a sort of more normal month? Obviously things are changing pretty rapidly. I'd be interested to hear your sort of comments on what you think is more normal these days.
Well, we had a pretty very unusual January and February. I think it is related to December. December, I've never seen a December that was up 9%.
Yeah.
And December was up 9%. I think that's a mixture of all the deals that were there, plus the snow and everything else. I think people put things in the cupboards. That hit January quite considerably, and February, both down quite dramatically, 14 to 15% in January, and then half of that in February. But March was 1.6% down. And if you take into account that March had Easter in it last year and not this year, then that's looking like about flat. Now, if you look at the whole of last year, which was a pretty tough market all the way through, pretty depressed market, a depressed consumer, the whole of the year ended up 0.8% down. And quite frankly, Warren, in our business, 1% up is good and 1% down is bad. And that's where we, and that's the kind of boundaries that we're in. We're now seeing in March something that's looking flat to downish a bit. If we ended up with, and we think that that's pretty much what you best read for the remainder of the year. We're waiting to see what happens in April. If that follows the same trend, and we suspect it might, then I think that's what will be the signal for the rest of the year.
Okay. And Jim, I appreciate you are, you know, you're in detailed discussions on the bond issue and probably limited in what you can or can't say. But obviously, there is an expectation from some people that, you know, you will be able to refinance at a kind of coupon of between 6.5 and 7%, given your credit rating. Is that something you remain, that kind of range, you remain comfortable with that?
Well, it depends on market conditions.
Sure.
And I think you'll see from some of the bonds that are out there in consumer, in the UK consumer space, yields been moving around by about 150 basis points on the basis of no particular news from that individual company, just general sentiment. So we think things are a little bit volatile at the moment. And that's one of the reasons that we think waiting till the second half would be a better idea.
Okay.
It gives us a slightly longer runway. The funny way the bond market works, I have to have results that are kind of within 5 months of the bond issue. So if I'm going to go in the first half, it has to be before the middle of May. Given all the bank holidays and the sort of skittish nature of yields, we think it's probably better wait until the second half. But you need to take your own view as to whether yields sort of go up from where they are or come back down, and what's happening to underlying interest rates.
Sure. Okay, many thanks.
Thank you. The next question we have is from the line of Mr. Graham Jones at Panmure Gordon. Jones, please go ahead.
Oh, good morning, gents. I just got a question about the performance in the core and defend categories. The sales growth in both those areas looked quite weak, sort of down 12% in core and down 13% in defend. And what I'm particularly interested in is just a comment on the pricing there, because the sales decline is much higher than your volume decline. It looks like you've got price deflation of about 5% there, despite some comments about promotional activity being lower. So do you think you can just comment on that, please?
Yeah, I think the first thing is that just bear in mind that all the pricing activity that we've been engaged in quarter one has come more towards the end of the quarter than the beginning. So any inflation and within our brands, you won't have seen by and large in quarter one, but you will see as we go forward. So that's the first thing about the value versus volume relationship. The second is that, I don't know if you can recall, but at the prelims we pointed out that we got our promotional activity right with our drive brands because we were getting value growth and volume growth. But I did say at that time that with our smaller brands, for that read, our defend brands, we promoted a little bit too much and we didn't get the equation right at all. And we did point at that time that we were going to take our foot off that promotional lever to some extent going forward. And we've done that with some of the smaller brands. So you see an element of that coming through. because we wanted to get a better financial return on that kind of investment. So there is an element of us adjusting our promotional policy, which we indicated at the prelims. You put them both together and then add in the fact that I think you'll find that with a lot of our defend brands, they will be an awful lot of the ones that are sitting in the cupboard after Christmas, having been bought at that time. So I think that it is those kind of brands that take the hit in this type of market. Smaller brands take the hit more than big brands, and then we've got the specific dynamics around our promotional approach to those smaller brands.
Okay. And can I just ask a follow-up on bakery? In terms of the branded sales growth of 1.6%, how does that compare to the market growth? Are you taking or losing share in branded bakery?
We're gaining share there. Do you want to just have a... Jim's got all the numbers there.
Yeah, the our measure, IRI, we use, as you know, Graham, and on that basis our volume share is up 0.7%. In quarter one and quarter one, value shares down 0.2. Overall, we think we're doing pretty well because we think the bread market is down quite a lot. If you look at the wider universe, Nielsen and IRI only measure a sample of the market. There are bits and pieces outside the market. We think overall the bread market's down a couple of percent. So we think we're doing okay.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. The next question we have is from the line of Rosie Edwards at Goldman Sachs. Ms. Edwards, please go ahead.
Yes, good morning. I had a quick question looking at the sort of differential between branded and non-branded performance. It seems that in grocery and Hovis, the non-branded sales were relatively better. I was wondering if you could just give a bit of colour on that and, you know, some details of what factors are at play there.
I think we'll take that in two bits. We'll look at grocery and then I'll ask Jim just to say a few words about the bread business. By and large, the pricing that we, with the contracts that we've got for own label, whatever pricing we've achieved on those contracts retrieved last year. So that pricing will be priced in quarter one. It wasn't priced in for brands. So there's one difference between how it's occurred. That will also be true of bread, which was priced, a lot of that was priced in last year. The second is that within own label we are doing quite well in terms of grocery. We're taking we are declining less than the market, therefore we're taking some share, so we're not unhappy with where we've got to. But I think the difference that you're seeing between brand and own label you need to look at in the second quarter when the pricing is complete across both sectors. Bread's slightly different. I'll ask Jim just to say a few things about bread own label.
Yeah, Rosie, the market's still down for non-branded bread, but not down as much as it was last year. So it's probably half of what you see there in our figures is the market, and half is the fact that we're falling a bit faster than the market. But you know that over a period of time, we don't mind that because we're freeing up capacity to grow Hovis. Again, it's a bit of an unusual period because people were stocking up on bread in December and putting it in their freezer, so the bread market too was down quite significantly in January-February time. So the fact that Hovis held its volumes in a declining market, it's pretty good. So I think you can expect that kind of trend to be continuing in Hovis. So the statistic to watch is the kind of overall bread production, and that's been relatively flat in this quarter, so that's fine.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. The next question we have is on the line of Mr. Jeff Spent of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead with your question.
Good morning, gents. Just two sort of, well, I suppose somewhat housekeeping questions. The first of which is, I see you're now suggesting that canning should complete around June, which is a little later than I was anticipating. I'm just wondering, is there any particular reason for that? And is there anything that could potentially derail that disposal? And the second one is just related to your comments on Brooks Avana. You say we're in discussions with them regarding product ranges and the future of certain supply arrangements. Is that meant to be positive or negative?
We'll do that one second. Let me just say on the canning timing. There's nothing There's nothing untoward with what's happening with Canning. The slight delay that we've experienced is that it was referred to the European equivalent of the OFT in the early days. It is largely a UK transaction. They, after a period of time, referred it to the UK and then it all kicked off again. So there's very little that we see in terms of overlap between the two businesses. We've just got to wait for them to opine, and that's likely to be in June.
Okay.
I think on the Marks & Spencer's one, do you want to...
I don't think there's anything particular to be read into it one way or the other at this stage, Jeff. I think you'll recall at year end we said that we thought the key to getting Brooks Havana back on track was to discuss with our main customer, Marks & Spencer's, pricing, product and supply arrangements. And I think the good news we're talking about today is we've done the first of those, pricing. Clearly, once you get past pricing, then you're into what products and ranges are you going to provide, i.e. what's your volumes going to be, and two, and three, obviously you get on to what contracts they are going to let to us. And you kind of win some, you lose some in this industry. So whether we're going to be a net winner or a net loser, we'll let you know when we know.
Okay, thanks very much.
Thank you. We currently have no further questions in queue, so a reminder that if you would like to ask a question, please press 7 on your telephone keypad now. It appears we have no further questions coming through, so I'll hand you back to your host to wrap up today's call.
Okay, thank you for joining us, ladies and gentlemen, and we'll see you in about 6 months' time at the interims. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Ladies and gentlemen, the call is now finished. You may hang up your phones.
Please hold the line for the conference host to join the conference, or a customer services representative. Please hold the line for the conference host to join the conference, or a customer services representative.